This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, a show that helps you find and follow your bliss. On today's show, we are delighted to have two fantastic guests, celebrated chiropractor Dr. Elaine Denby and author of the new book, Use the Good Dishes No Matter What Life Serves Up. Also, composer, pianist, and singer David Johans, who has been doing a virtual piano bar on Facebook almost every night since COVID began. We'll meet both of them very soon, but first, our weekly bliss blast and a bit of bliss coaching on the air. Many of our guests are people who have already found their bliss. And one of the things I do as a life coach is I help connect people to their passion and to their purpose and bliss, as it were. I once had a client who had a long list of wishes on his bliss to-do list. And I said, just pick one. And he said, well, one of my dreams has always been to write a song. So I said, why don't you write me one by Friday? And his face lit up like a Christmas tree. It was as if he just needed permission to do what was inside of him all along. He wrote the song and it was really great. And he went on to write 7 more songs and his life really improved and he became much happier. Sometimes that's all you need is a coach or a friend to sort of give you permission to just make your dreams come true at any age or stage, as dreams have no expiration date. This is a wonderful opportunity during these times to make some of your dreams come true. Anyway, there is this really cool new segment called the Bliss Coaching Segment, where we're going to select someone to come on the air, and I'm going to do a mini laser coaching session for free, complimentary on the air for whoever is brave enough to be that person. And I think you'll find it to be a lot of fun. Mostly, this is something that works really well. All you have to do if you want to book a coaching conversation is just briefly tell us what you want coaching around and write to us at info@findingyourbliss.com or go to our website at findingyourbliss.com and click on coaching or just message me at the Bliss Minute on Instagram or Facebook. Dr. Elaine Denby is a celebrated chiropractor and longevity specialist in private practice for 42 years in Toronto, a sought-after inspirational keynote speaker, media personality, and author of 2 best-selling books, Passionate Longevity, The 10 Secrets to Growing Younger, and Use the Good Dishes, Finding Joy in Everyday Life. Her latest book, Use the Good Dishes, No Matter What Life Serves Up, has just been released, and Dr. Denby's current speaking engagements motivate individuals and employees to strengthen their mental and physical resiliency against multiple stresses and unpredictable times and to find joy in everyday living and working. Dr. Denby attended McMaster University. She graduated as a doctor of chiropractic medicine from the Canadian Memorial Chiropractic College in 1978. She has a unique way of finding the source of patients' issues through her blend of life coaching and intuition. Dr. Denby pursues the athletic life. I know this about her, having run 17 marathons and hiked many mountains, including reaching the summit of Mount Kilimanjaro, and she weight trains in the gym. Dr. Denby is a wellness coach and longevity specialist who helps individuals find strategies to reach optimal health and wellness. With her prescription for a life filled with passion, purpose, and joy, Elaine Denby, welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you so much, Judy. Great to be here.
So great to have you here. Elaine, the last time that I saw you in person, we were running in a marathon on the Deanie Petty Show on CFTO TV, and we did a relay. I think we all had to do about 5 miles. Do you remember that day?
I do remember that day. It was about a million years ago.
It was so much fun. You know, we had Deanie Petty on the show, and we talked about that as well. But I know you were a regular correspondent on that show for many years.
I was.
Congratulations on your newest book, which is just delightful. And it's called Use the Good Dishes, No Matter What Life Serves Up. And I'm so impressed that you've written this book to address how we can all navigate the fallout from the coronavirus pandemic and make sense of it all, maintaining a positive outlook And in the early days, you actually wrote that your chiropractic office was temporarily closed. You felt like you were watching a disaster movie unfold. Can you elaborate and tell us more about how you felt when this COVID-19 pandemic first happened?
Well, it was an absolute shock. However, resourcefulness is one of my signature strengths. And I thought, Elaine, you are never going to have a gap of time like this ever again, hopefully, especially when you're used to being in practice and treating patients every day. And I realized that this was my opportunity to write a book. And patients were telling me they were reading my 20-year-old book. I realized that I had to change the focus to really focusing on strategies for resilience and adapting to life's changes.
You have a chapter called Adapting, and you talk about how the coronavirus outbreak reminds you of the movie Groundhog Day. How so?
Because for some people, they wake up, they are so routine-based that every day is the same. And you can get into a real rut, unless you think, okay, what can I change? Where's the opportunity? It with this collective pause, which we've all had, it gives you time to reevaluate, to reflect, to do some pruning and editing things that no longer fit in your life. So pandemic for some people can be a gift, as I've heard from many patients, or it can be a time of feeling even more stuck than you were before the pandemic.
Sure. And for you, how long did it take you to do an entire book? I mean, that's incredible, because this has only been going on for going on to 5 months. How long did it take you to do all of this?
March 15th, my office was closed. I basically chained myself to a little corner of our kitchen island. My husband works from home. He was upstairs. I sat there. And, you know, it's really interesting from a spiritual perspective that when you have what I would call green lights all the way, when you decide to do something and there are no obstacles,
yes,
the universe,
yes,
is saying, go for it. My girlfriend, who is a journalist and a fabulous editor and writer, said, hey, I'll edit your book. I found two university fellows who helped me with the design of the book. Everything worked. Everything worked. So I wrote it like mad from March to about the beginning of June. And there it was. It was done.
Isn't that wonderful? And the book is also gorgeous. I'm actually looking at it right now. And it's just the right size. And it's really cheerful in this gorgeous sort of tangerine orange and white. And it's use the good dishes no matter what life serves up. And it really is a fantastic read. It's just chock full of so much good stuff. Can you describe the line in Leonard Cohen's timeless song anthem that gives you great meaning and comfort?
That there are cracks, of course, in the universe, but that's how the light gets in. And again, yes, it's exactly how, I don't think that's exactly the right quote, but the meaning is that the lens that you look out at when you view the world can determine a lot of what your journey is going to be about. And somehow you just have to figure things out and either accept what is or reach out for help, and avoiding the tendency to see a crisis like this as insurmountable, that somehow you can figure out how to adapt and get through, even if it's just the very basic of taking care of yourself. As I've said, that taking care of ourselves is an essential service. That's how I feel about it.
Of course. So true. So well put. So well put. I know you talk a lot about a word that is so important these days for people just to really be able to survive and to cope well with all of what's going on. And that word is resilience. And you talk about three different types of resilience. Can you describe them?
Yes, there are three types of resilience. There's natural resilience, which is what you're born with. And it's all the experiences that life have to offer when you play, explore, learn, and take setbacks in stride. And then there's learned resilience that helps you build through techniques that help restore the natural resilience you had as a child. But what we're going through is adaptive resilience, which is trial by fire. When you've got challenging circumstances that force you to learn and grow. So those are the three types. And we're definitely in the midst of adaptive resilience for sure.
What has been sort of the gift that you're seeing in all of this, or the part of this that is making it okay for you?
Well, I realize that in every crisis and chaos, there are opportunities. I believe that that's my optimistic attitude, and pessimists have a harder time getting through this.
Sure.
I know in my heart of hearts that bad things are temporary. And I realize that you just have to keep things in perspective. I've got a really strong social network, and then also accepting that change is inevitable. Mm-hmm. Plus, I maintain hopefulness, mm-hmm. which allows me to get through each day.
It's fantastic. And I always remember that about you. You've always had the sunniest disposition and been such a positive person and just a great inspiration to so many people. You also say it's all in your mindset, and you talk about the key to a growth mindset that will serve you better in life is self-awareness. What are some of the steps towards gaining self-awareness?
Self-awareness, I think, begins when you are still. And this is why the COVID situation has been very helpful for a lot of people, because we've stopped running, going, doing, chasing. We have been forced to stay present. And when we're still, we can look out the window, we take a walk in nature. And that's when we're quiet, you can listen to your heart, answers come. So the first thing is for self-awareness is reflection and accepting where you're at, I believe.
And you have a whole section on accepting what is. Can you please tell us about that?
Accepting what is. Yeah, that is, it's a process. You cannot just suddenly wake up and say, oh, well, I guess, you know, my job is gone, or this has happened, or I'm working remotely until the spring of next year. It's a slow process. And sometimes you scream and you cry and you talk to people. And then over time you think, okay, this is the way it is. And, you know, the other point about accepting what is that good things happen in life, bad things happen in life. But over time, mm-hmm. we return to our normal set point of happiness, especially with loss. I mean, loss is the most difficult journey that we must take. And I've written about loss, as you know, in my book. And mm-hmm. and again, it's time.
It's time. And you've interviewed a lot of people, and their stories are also fascinating. You also include some of your beautiful poems all throughout the book. And I love your poem on being in chapter 2. And I'm just going to read some of it now for the listeners. I'm so busy doing, haven't got time for being. This frenzy of achieving, what am I not seeing? My mind is overloaded. The chatter is repeating. The way I'm living now is so self-defeating. I must create a space, a pause, where I feel moments that are mindful, inner self revealed. It will happen in stillness when I am alone. Only then will answers come. The truth I will own. Love that poem, Elaine. It's really lovely.
I love writing poetry. And in this book, I've got a lot of new poems, and I had so much fun writing them.
You're so wonderful at it. You learned the wonder of visualization as well when you studied at Harvard University and you took a course designed to change our consciousness. Can you describe what that was like? It sounds fascinating.
Well, yeah, it was an amazing program. And the professor had us visualize a quality that we wanted more of. So there were 400 people in the room, and I thought, what do I need more of? I need more humility. We all do. Especially, I'm a Leo.
I remember that. I remember that you're a Leo. Isn't that funny? I remember that you're born in August.
That's right. Exactly. So I thought, that's it. I need more humility. And the next part of the exercise is to visualize someone who has that quality. So I thought, the Dalai Lama for sure has humility. And then you see that person with that quality emanating out of them as a bubble on top of your head. And you just feel that bubble coming in to your being. And, you know, the mind is very visual. So we can, if I told listeners to visualize a beach with the waves, you could just see it. I mean, we're just visual creatures. It's accessing it.
Exactly. And that's fantastic. I really love that. And I think it works so well. I love when you talk about people savoring their happiest memories in a section called The Way We Were. Yes. Can you describe why it's so important to help people retrieve and save their happiest moments, especially now?
Especially now, Judy. Well, the reason is that we tend to focus on the things that are negative and not working in our life. And yet we have thousands of happy, joyful, outstanding, cherished memories that are in our experience, in our mind. We just have to retrieve them, as you say. And what you do is, it's not enough just to think about it, but if you have a moment where you feel loved or grateful or appreciated or confident or some feeling, if you focus on that feeling, how it feels to be grateful and confident and appreciative and happy for 30 seconds, your neurons actually synapse in your brain, and you can record. It's almost like downloading that emotion into your neurons so that a month from now, you can remember how good it was to hug your family after being isolated for months, or how good it was to social distance and have a coffee with a girlfriend. These are moments. And
yes.
And one thing I wanted to mention is that when life strips everything away from you, you understand what truly matters in life. It really puts things into perspective. And the comments from my book are just about that. You start realizing the value of the small pulses of life. Like I can't wait to go to a movie, even if it's a drive-in movie, or just go inside into a restaurant.
Yes, basic things that we took for granted, that we're not even going to believe it when we can go to a restaurant. We're not going to believe it when we can go to sit in a play or at a movie theater. We're going to be rapturous, right? Because,
exactly.
Yeah, no, it's so great. Elaine, when you talked about finding your mother's pin, the brooch that she thought she'd lost of the Star of David, I cried. I actually wept in my room last night reading this. Can you tell us about the significance of finding that beautiful pin and what it represented for you?
Oh, my. Well, I'm sure that the listeners have experienced loss of a parent or siblings or someone dear to them. And my late brother and I had to clear out my mom's possessions and her clothing. And about a year before she passed away, I went to visit her and she told me that she had lost her precious Star of David pin. And we looked for it, we couldn't find it. And I didn't talk about it because I knew it would upset her in subsequent visits. And so now I'm in my home and all my mom's possessions are in this other bedroom. And one day I thought, okay, I'm just going to go through everything. And as I was going through all these garbage bags of her clothes, I held up this one black and white dress, and there in the collar of the dress was this pin. And it was, I was just, you know, when you're just awestruck that you found it, you found something that was so meaningful for her. I felt an immediate connection to her. And I thought, you know, everything's right with the world. I'm going to be able to get through this. It was just like putting closure on that part of my life and my late mom, who was very, very dear to me. So that was one of those synchronous moments, you know, where you just like the big surprise.
Wow.
Big surprise.
Wow. That, I don't know, the way you wrote about it in the book just really, really got to me, and it was so touching. And I'm sorry about your mom. I love when you talk about don't postpone joy, which I think is part of one of the rap poems that you do, but you talk about that bumper sticker, don't postpone joy. Why is it so important, and how do we access joy?
Joy is around us all the time, Judy. You just have to open your eyes. That's the key. And talk about self-awareness. Just be aware that it's always in our heart. I mean, you can feel sad and then something funny will happen and you can laugh. So it's always there for us. And I love that line, don't postpone joy, because it's there. It's just there for the taking and it's around us all the time. That's why I came up with that term, use the good dishes, because people are waiting for something in the future to make them happy. When, hey, you woke up today, you know, you're alive, you're breathing, you have a day to make a difference, to be kind, to just to be grateful that you're in this incredible world and a witness to the most amazing things that are happening, good and not so good, but it's a message and a a mantra for everyone to just live each day and celebrate life no matter what happens.
Absolutely. What's bliss for Elaine Denby?
Bliss. Oh my goodness. Bliss is my husband. I'm a newlywed. Actually, our anniversary, 2 years married, is tomorrow.
Congratulations. That's so great.
Yes, I became a bride at almost 70.
A beautiful one, I know.
Yes, yes. And bliss for me is I love, love, love what I do as a chiropractor, helping patients. Bliss for me is nature. My family, my friends, my cat, just life itself. Just it's a privilege and a joy just to exist.
Isn't that wonderful? How can people contact you, Elaine, and how can they get a copy of your beautiful book, Use the Good Dishes, No Matter What Life Serves Up?
They can contact me through my website, elainedemby.com. They can get a copy of my book from amazon.ca. And they can find me on the internet as long as they spell my name D-E-M-B-E, M as in Mary, which is my late mom's name. So,
Wow. Now that's so wonderful. I want to thank you so much for being here. It's really been delightful talking to you again. And I feel like we've caught up a little bit, which has been so great. And I'm so happy for your success, for this new book, for your marriage, and for all the wonderful things in your life, and for your inspiration to so many of our listeners. It's going to be wonderful for them to hear all of this sort of joyfulness that you bring. We're going to go to a short commercial break right now. When we come back on Finding Your Bliss, we will be joined by our next guest, pianist David Johans. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And our next guest is the talented David Johans. When David Johans was 9 years old, he discovered three things that serendipitously influenced his path in life: a passion for music, sailing, and photography. With interests that were never wavering, David was quick to develop his potential by building a captivating repertoire and a collection of tools that would later help him single-handedly restore his summer home. And you may be wondering what that is. That is a 40-foot Piver Victrus Trimaran. At the age of 14 years old, David enjoyed his debut on stage after the manager of the Stone Croc in St. Jacob's caught a glimpse of his abilities during a family dinner and offered him a job. So David began his foray as a lounge piano player, an opportunity that afforded him incredible experiences and lots of traveling. The musician has always relied on his gift of perfect pitch to build performances which borrow cues from classical music, to accent his keen adventurism in modern jazz. Although capable of reading music, David prefers the freedom of learning and playing by ear. To this day, he begins his mornings with a double espresso and a side of technical piano finger exercises. Woo! David's self-taught techniques are complemented by a degree in music from McGill University in Montreal, Quebec, which led him to expand his stage presence. Since then, David has played world-renowned music festivals such as the Festival International de Jazz de Montréal with his jazz trio, and he has scored musically and embellished over 100 TV shows, and he has still found ways of incorporating his love for sailing into his life as a musician. David embarked on a career as well in real estate, which he carefully balances with his ardor for the performing arts. His Piver Victrus Trimaran is equipped with a digital piano and a small sound system on board. David fondly calls it the sailing piano, and often one can find him entertaining guests with his melodic variations. And most recently, and how we brought him here today, this venture evolved into the virtual piano bar, which serves to lift people's spirits in trying times such as these through his ebullient compositions and mild comedy. Hi, David. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
That's quite an intro. I hope I can measure up to that.
So I want to ask you about the blisses in your life. You're so aware of them, and you always have been. You knew early on that your bliss was sailing, music and photography. And in fact, you've been sailing since the age of 2, and now you're the captain of this very unique sailboat designed by John Piver called Orenda. Can you tell our listeners a little more about your boat and your love of sailing, and particularly the meaning of the name Orenda?
Okay, so when I sailed since I was 2, at that age, you're basically dead weight. And dad used to put on those, back at the time, those horrific life jackets that looked like they still were used on the Titanic. And they were they would carry us into a little dinghy, and you couldn't see over the top. So I do remember getting seasick a lot at that age. So in spite of that, I still developed a love for sailing. And we grew up on a farm in Wellesley Township, so pretty landlocked. So it's kind of crazy that my life has evolved to be so involved with boats. But there was a book I read called Dove, and it was a guy who was, when he was 16, he sailed around the world. And I still have that book. I still have that copy. It's like the Bible to me. And so from then, I just always been around boats. And I'm a member of the Toronto Multihull Club here in Toronto, which is a wonderfully well-kept secret. And there was a boat that was abandoned, sat on the hard for 5 years in a parking lot. And so I got it for next to nothing and basically rebuilt it. I've had it now for 11 years, but the core structure of it was in basically perfect shape. It was built by a guy named Jenks, and he took 10 years building it, and that's why it's lasted over 50 years.
Wow.
So I've basically modernized it. I've tried to create an off-grid house, if you will. So I feel very blessed to have this boat, because having it and having to reconstruct all of the systems on it, I didn't know how to do it. So I learned electrical, plumbing, fiberglassing. And the nice thing is, the Toronto Multihull Club is quite unique in the sense that most of the members there, they've built their own boats. The depth of knowledge there is incredible. So they've kind of mentored me through this program and taught me how to fix things. The boat was actually the first design to sail around the world. There's a movie about it now. I have the exact same design, so it's built for solo circumnavigation.
Orenda, I did a little bit of research here, is the name of a book written by Canadian author Joseph Boyden, and it's a Huron-Iroquois term meaning the spirit in all things, and there's three elements associated with Orenda: faith, hope, and gratitude. Love that.
Yeah, triptych. So there's three syllables to the word. And because it's a trimaran, has three hulls. You have the main hull, and the outer hulls are called amas. It's actually, you know, based on Polynesian designs that are more than 2,000 years old. And I call it a gift from the universe because, you know, I went through some tough times after I bought it. And just fixing it and being there and being on the water always kept me incredibly grounded. And it's wonderful when you can, you know, see something and then, you know, design something in your mind and then recreate it in real life. And that's what that boat allowed me to do. So the boat, it gave me a gift. I always say the gift of life. So it's not just the sailing that I love. It's the project and the beauty of doing it yourself. If there's ever a problem, and typically on sailboats, there's always a problem, you don't call somebody to fix it. You fix it yourself.
That's so amazing. One of your other blisses is singing and playing the piano and composing.
That's right.
And I first met you in this wonderful incarnation that you really created at the very beginning of COVID and carried through like for almost 4 months. And that was the Dave's Virtual Piano Bar. And it's just brought a lot of happiness and relief to a lot of people. Can you describe for our listeners what exactly happens at Dave's Virtual Piano Bar and what inspired you to start it?
So what inspired me to start it was, I actually had this idea years ago because, you know, I've played a lot of bars in Toronto, and I won't lie, I've been fired from most of them. So, and the reason is I'm not just a background, what I call providing wallpaper music. I like to interact with my audience, and most places, they don't want that. They just want somebody, you know, shut up and play the piano type of thing. And I'm not really good with that. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, why can't I just play from my house? So I did a piano bar experience with Airbnb. That was kind of successful. And then, so when the COVID thing hit, the shutdown, I thought, wow, all these people are stuck in their house. So clearly I acknowledged that I had a captive audience. So then what I did was, that inspired me. I thought, this is the perfect time to try this out. So the first night I did it, I had, you know, basically plugging in the laptop. I had terrible microphones and not even decent camera. I thought, well, if one person watches, I'll play a couple of tunes. I think I had over 200 people the first night, and I played for 3 hours. And that was an aha. And then I thought, wow. So I spent that weekend and I upgraded the sound system. I went on YouTube and Google and researched, you know, how to create a better production quality sound for streaming on Facebook. I think I achieved that. And then I did it every night at 8 o'clock. I committed to playing 2 hours every night, and the 2 hours would just fly by. It was amazing. It was just a surreal experience, because even though nobody was in the room, I could see all the requests coming through the message thing on Facebook.
Yes, the chat.
And yeah, and then I used a program called Ecamm, which is amazing for streaming. And it allowed me really, you know, multiple cameras, a better sound. And I was just interacting with people and taking requests. And then I created this tradition. Like, you know, I always say what I loved about it, I was totally alone in my house with a piano. So nobody was here. So I wasn't affected by anybody in the audience.
Right.
So when there's somebody in the room, that energy affects your performance. When there's nobody in the room, your performance is more, I think, is more true, more to a degree, more authentic,
more
or
pure.
At least you are more authentic. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was able to share, like, all of those videos I put on YouTube. Like, if you look for Dave's Virtual Piano Bar on YouTube, you'll find it. And I've got over 60 videos, each 2 hours long. Each one is unique. And it's kind of a nice legacy, because that is authentic me. Like, that's authentic Dave. Like, I, even for myself, I can't get more true to who I am than what was on those recordings. And you forget about the microphone, you forget about the camera, and you just play. And it's like, it was amazing. Like, so, and I was so touched by, you know, I was getting emails and text messages, and I still am, of people who said, thank you for doing this. You know, I'm really upset. I'm suffering, or I'm not feeling happy. And every day I look forward to your performance. And that really motivated me to keep doing it. So I thought, I did 40 days in a row. And then I thought, well, you know, 50th night happened to fall on Mother's Day. So I thought, let's shoot for that. And I did it. And after that, then I just started doing 2 nights a week. And then eventually, of course, I moved back onto the boat and had to get the boat ready. So, yeah.
Okay. I know you're at your piano, and I know this was not planned, but you played for me It's a Wonderful Night for a Moon Dance. We can't play the whole song because we're playing a lot of your other music, but.
You mean It's a Marvelous Night for a Moon Dance by Van Morrison? Is that the one you're thinking of?
Yes. That's the one.
We just had a beautiful full moon. Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance. And of course, I forget all the words. The stars on high sang a lullaby. Now I'm mixing up time.
You know? All I can tell you is
you'd be so nice to come home to. You know that song? You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice. So yeah, by the fire. So
thank you for doing that. I have to tell you, when you played that song that night, you know, I'm a pretty positive, cheerful person. I'm the Finding Your Bliss gal, right? But everybody has sort of their meltdown in COVID. And that night was my meltdown. Oh, yeah. And when you played that, it just sent me in. And that's what music does, right? It just transports you to another place.
Absolutely.
And you're also a composer. And in fact, later on, we're going to be hearing some of your compositions. What is your process when you are writing music? Do you sort of love doing it while you're doing it? Or like most writers, do you enjoy it once it's done?
I think a combination of both, but my process isn't like, I don't like using the word writing, because in a way I'm not really writing. That's what was interesting about the Virtual Piano Bar, because I use the technique in the Virtual Piano Bar in the beginning of every session. And this started when I was a little kid. So we had an upright piano on the main floor. And every morning I used to just sit in there and noodle around on the piano. I think it's a form of almost meditation. Of course, I was too young to appreciate that at the time. But I remember getting like almost zoned out by melodies or noodling on the piano. And things then when you just allow things to flow through you. And it almost, it's like, I know this sounds surreal, but it's like an out of body experience. So you are no longer the performer. You are the audience watching your body play what just comes through you. It's a really sensitive balance. As soon as you become conscious and you start thinking about something, that connection is lost. So you have to really allow yourself to almost remove yourself from yourself. You can't manifest it willingly always. Like it strikes you at the most bizarre times. That's how I write. So all these songs, like I prefer writing instrumental music. I think the songs I sent you are with lyrics, but I don't consider myself much of a lyricist. That's why I was the music I created for television. That's why I liked writing for scores, is because I don't think in terms of a song structure. I like Philip Glass, like patterns, structures, repeating patterns and changing harmony. So my writing process is just, you know, things come to me, and then that's why I like having technology around, all around me, is if you don't record it while it's happening, you'll never play it, or
you'll never get it back again.
So like, you know, like little riffs, like, okay, so when I used to work on cruise ships, and I remember one night I was after the show, I used to always just noodle on the piano, and there's this thing like this.
Wow.
Like that's just the beginning of a melody, the idea.
I love that.
You know, and then, so that was like 30 years ago I wrote that, and I recorded it.
Mm.
So that's a motif, if you will.
David, what's that piece called? That's gorgeous.
You know, honestly, I can't remember. Beyond.
We should name it.
It's on SoundCloud. I've got a SoundCloud. You know, but then I like taking the same melody, and you know. So I like what Hans Zimmer says. There's a question and an answer, right? So here's the question. And there's the answer. And there's another question. And an answer. And then you come up with a different variation of that story, which would be, you know. So what I'm doing there is it's all patterns, right? That's what the right hand is doing. And so then I modulate it. So it's just a major, you know, and then I go down diatonically. I'm going to E flat minor. So now we're getting to theory, but I don't think like that. It's funny because I've, you know, as you mentioned, I have perfect pitch. So I don't know if that affected anything.
Wow. I'm impressed. You wrote a song called The Best Thing in My Life.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I love the beat. It's so upbeat. And yet I know there's a dichotomy between the upbeat nature of the song and your very heartfelt feelings about it. Would you tell us a little bit about The Best Thing in My Life?
Okay. So, it's a sensitive topic for me. My son is now, he's going to be turning 14 this month. And sadly, I was married and I had a child with another woman. I always like turning a positive from a negative. So in 2013, my access got terminated. And so, so what I did was I decided I wanted to write, because I had an amazing relationship with him, had access with him till he was 7 years old. And we did a lot of fun things together. So, and I love Randy Newman. So I thought, you know, I'd like to write a song for him that he can have forever. I mean, I don't think he's old enough now to appreciate anything or cognitive of what's happening. But I wanted him to have a song just to remind him, you know, we did these things together and we had an amazing time. The lyrics were basically, I just wrote down all the things we did together. And I didn't want a sad song. I wanted a happy song because I wanted to create something positive from something negative. But I never play the song because I get upset.
We're going to play a little bit of it right now for you.
Wake up in the morning with tickles and giggles.
Wow, I love that. I just love that. It's such a fun song, and I love that there's so much heart behind it, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and I love Randy Newman. So I mean, I like that song. You've Got a Friend in Me. That's from Toy Story. That's one of my favorite songs.
But what
was fun about that song? At the end of the song, I got my son, you know, to record, because he used to always say, "Dad, dad, 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 dad," as most dads will experience it, and wanted me to put on his shoulder. So I got him to, I had a recording of that line, had him record it, and I put it at the end of the song.
I can't wait to hear that. I want to ask you, David, just on a lighter note, you performed at Ernest Borgnine's wedding, which took place where the movie 10 was filmed with Bo Derek. What was that like?
Yeah, it was really hilarious, actually. So I worked on many different cruise ships for like 3 to 4 months. But I met Ernest Borgnine, and he used to hang out in the lounge after the show, and we would always talk. And he said, "Well, look, I want you to play at my wedding in Manzanillo." And I said, "Sure." It was done to the nines, but it was so hot. And they had the piano outside, and you could have fried an egg on that black grand piano.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And I was dressed in a tuxedo. Like, I survived, but a lot of guests fainted.
Oh, my God. So
it was really a gong show. But then afterwards, Ernest, he was wonderfully humble man. And he said, "Well, come to my place after in Manzanillo." And I stayed there with him for quite a while. We used to cruise along the coast of Playa del Carmen. Actually, we were heading to go through the Panama Canal. So we're going down the Pacific coast. And Playa del Carmen was just at the time a little fishing village. And we'd hang out with the local yokels drinking cervezas and eating ceviche and just talking life, man. And nothing. Like, he was just a guy.
So great.
And he was really nice. Like, just really. And
I love that.
Yeah, it was a really fond memory. But that wedding was hilarious because you throw all of this money at it and everybody faints.
David, what is bliss for David Johans?
Oh, bliss is many things. I think you can't experience happiness until you experience tragedy. It'll teach you how to, between those polarities. That's why I like that symbol, yin and yang. So bliss is, you know, pursuing what is true to yourself, like who the essence of who you are.
What advice do you have for those trying to follow their dreams?
Everything has to come from a quiet place. So you can't be surrounded by noise. And in order for you, everyone has a voice within them, and you have to find that voice. And then you have to start listening to it. And you won't get an answer right away of what that thing is that you should be doing. But once you start leaning towards that voice and respecting that voice and listening to it, you know, it's going to take you to the place that you should be at. And sometimes you lose that voice. You could lose that voice for years. You can get sidelined. But as long as you come back to the voice and respect it, I mean, that's what it was like for me. I grew up on a farm. I spent so much time by myself. I guess I was talking to myself, but that's why I like sailing, because you can get out into that quiet space, and then it brings you back to the place where you can start hearing yourself and who you are. Like, who are you?
David, how can people contact you and purchase your music?
So if they go to davidjohans.com, is my website. I'm on SoundCloud. SoundCloud's probably the best way. I have a lot of tracks up there.
Awesome. We're going to hear more from you after this commercial break. We're going to actually hear another gorgeous song of yours, another original called "You Give Me Butterflies." We're just going to a quick commercial break right now. And when we come back, more with David Johans. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. Joining us once again, this week's featured artist, David Johans, playing us another original composition called You Give Me Butterflies. David, can you set up this clip for us?
Okay, so I'd never written a love song, and I was dating this woman who, for what I thought, and her birthday was coming up, and it terrified me because I thought, what am I going to get her that she doesn't already have? Hmm. And I thought, well, I'm a singer and a songwriter, so why don't I write her a song? I wrote a song about, because every time I saw her, she gave me butterflies. That's the idea that inspired the song. So I wrote a song about how we first met, where we went, and what we did. It was just a playful thing. And I love Burt Bacharach, major seventh chord. He's the master. So that's what this song has. I wanted to write a song that was in that style. So it's actually one of my favorite. It's become one of my favorite songs. You know, every time when you finish writing a song, you're like, no, I don't really like that. And then you listen to it years later and thought, hey, yeah, I kind of like that. So
let's have a listen right now to You Give Me Butterflies.
Early morning light goes down through your window, moving slowly across your body. Your eyes open to see the luckiest man in the world. 'Cause you give me butterflies, you make my heart sing. You give me butterflies, and I just want to say, give me butterflies, butterflies. We boarded a plane for Amsterdam, stayed in an old hotel, skipping down those cobble streets just like we were kids. Dinner's at a little restaurant beside a sparkling lit canal, asking for directions but not caring, we were lost. And every day I want to celebrate just how you make me feel. I want to hold you tightly and whisper in your ear. You give me butterflies. Give me butterflies, butterflies. Give me butterflies. Be that guy who becomes a romantic cliche, walking hand in hand
land on a moonlit beach. I could buy you diamonds and pearls, or take you on a foreign cruise. But instead I wrote this silly song, 'cause you give me butterflies. You make my every time I see you, you give me butterflies, butterflies, you give me butterflies, butterflies.
That was so gorgeous. Oh my God, I love that song. Loved it. Thank you so much, David, for the song and for everything and for being on our show today. We hope you'll come back again. And as you heard, you can hear more from David Johannes by going to SoundCloud. And there's lots of his beautiful original music right there. As you just heard, each week we spotlight a singer, singer-songwriter, or musician on the show. If you are a singer and you want to be considered to appear on Finding Your Bliss Radio, please write to us at music@findingyourbliss.com. Also, we encourage you to visit our online magazine at www.findingyourbliss.com. And of course, for the latest and the greatest, follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram and Facebook. I would like to thank all of my guests for being here today, Dr. Elaine Denby and David Johannes. Also, a big thank you to our supervising producer, Meg Ruffman, production manager, Siobhan Kiley, PA researcher and editor, Haley Allegia, audio producer, Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. We're going to close out the show today with a short quote by famous basketball coach, John Vincent Calipari. This is one of the most important themes I want you to take from me. Stay as positive and upbeat as you possibly can. I'll say it many times, if you can dream it, you can be it. For all of us here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to stay positive and take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.